Tarzan of the Apes, Unabridged, by Edgar Rice Burroughs. This production of Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs is copyrighted 2008 by B.J. Harrison. Neither this recording nor any part of this recording may be reproduced, streamed, or broadcast without prior written authority by B.J. Harrison. First published in 1912, Tarzan of the Apes was originally published serially in the pulp fiction magazine The All Story. Though the novel has varying pseudo-scientific ideas from the early 20th century, Burroughs created Tarzan in order to feed his young family. Wandering from one failing trade after another, Burroughs was eventually driven to pawn some of his own clothes in order to secure money. His tale of a man raised by apes in the African jungle quickly became a cultural icon, eventually inspiring Tarzan comics, films, and radio shows. And today, Tarzan holds a place in everyone's imagination. We all know who Tarzan is. He seems to have always existed. But he did not. He was created by a man named Edgar Rice Burroughs, and his story begins now. Tarzan of the Apes.
Chapter 2. The Savage Home. Nor did they have long to wait, for the next morning, as Clayton was emerging on deck for his accustomed walk before breakfast, a shot rang out, and then another, and another. The sight which met his eyes confirmed his worst fears. Facing the little knot of officers was the entire motley crew of the Fualda, and at their head stood Black Michael. At the first volley from the officers, the men ran for shelter, and from points of vantage behind masts, wheelhouse, and cabin, they returned the fire of the five men who represented the hated authority of the ship. Two of their number had gone down before the captain's revolver. They lay where they had fallen between the combatants. But then the first mate lunged forward upon his face, and at a cry of command from Black Michael, the mutineers charged the remaining four. The crew had been able to muster but six firearms, so most of them were armed with boat hooks, axes, hatchets, and crowbars. The captain had emptied his revolver and was reloading as the charge was made. The second mate's gun had jammed, so there were but two weapons opposed to the mutineers as they bore down upon the officers, who now started to give back before the infuriated rush of their men. Both sides were cursing and swearing in a frightful manner, which, together with the report of the firearms and the screams and groans of the wounded, turned the deck of the Fualda to the likeness of a madhouse. Before the officers had taken a dozen backward steps, the men were upon them. An axe in the hands of a burly negro cleft the captain from forehead to chin, and an instant later the others were down, dead or wounded from dozens of blows and bullet wounds. Short and grisly had been the work of the mutineers of the Fualda, and through it all John Clayton had stood leaning carelessly beside the companionway, puffing meditatively upon his pipe as though he had been but watching an indifferent cricket match. As the last officer went down, he thought it was time that he returned to his wife, lest some members of the crew find her alone below. Though outwardly calm and indifferent, Clayton was inwardly apprehensive and wrought up, for he feared for his wife's safety at the hands of these ignorant half-brutes into whose hands fate had so remorselessly thrown them. As he turned to descend the ladder, he was surprised to see his wife standing on the steps almost at his side.
"How long have you been here, Alice?"
"Since the beginning," she replied. "How awful, John. Oh, how awful! What can we hope for at the hands of such as those?"
"Breakfast, I hope,"
he answered, smiling bravely in an attempt to allay her fears.
"At least,"
he added,
"I'm going to ask them. Come with me, Alice. We must not let them think we expect any but courteous treatment."
The men had by this time surrounded the dead and wounded officers, and without either partiality or compassion proceeded to throw both living and dead over the sides of the vessel. With equal heartlessness, they disposed of their own dead and dying.